Good Shabbos, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. First, I'd like to acknowledge that this week's Ice Cream Kiddush is sponsored by Elise Weiss and the Weiss and Ross families in honor of Bobby's 30th birthday. The big 3-0 is a big milestone, so happy, happy birthday. I'd also like to acknowledge that this week's Kiddush and Third Meal are both sponsored by the Shoulder family, who are visiting Philadelphia from across the Northeast for the family Shabbaton. Thank you, and as the billboards say, with love, Philadelphia XOXO. I'm very excited to announce the latest news on my Pesach publications. This year, I've already released an ebook update of Pesach Without the Pain, a book on Pesach laws, which gives everyone a lot more time to digest the information than last year when I released it only 5 days prior to Pesach. If you'd like to order a copy, there's a link in our newsletter, and if you attend my Pesach classes, I will try to provide hard copies of the book for those who attend. And God willing, in a couple of days, I'll be releasing my newest book, Bringing Order to the Seder, a companion book for the Haggadah. It will be available as an ebook first, and I'll try to release a print edition as well. Halakha requires us to begin learning the laws of Pesach and Purim. Unless we forget that obligation, the sages instituted Parshat Parah to remind us that Pesach is approaching. But that seems like a very roundabout way to remind us. As we explained last night, the idea that you must be pure to bring the Korban Pesach. And since the ashes of the Parah, the red heifer, are used to restore purity after someone comes in contact with the corpse, this parsha will remind us that Pesach is coming. But we don't even bring the Korban Pesach anymore, and either way, I think there must be a better connection between the close timing of Parshat Parah and Pesach. I think we can discern that connection in this week's Parshat Shmini, which tells a story about the inauguration of the Mishkan. The inauguration services are interrupted by what the Torah calls an Esh Zara, a strange fire, which kills the two eldest sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu. Chazal asks what his sons did wrong to deserve such a horrible death. I think there are at least 15 answers brought to answer this question. And Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler used to say that whenever there are multiple explanations for the same question, that's a surefire indication that no one really knows the answer. Now my view is that in essence, they are all really the same idea. And therefore, we should look for the common denominator between the reasons. But we won't get into that today. Nonetheless, we're still left wondering what message to take from this incident. We read that Moshe tried to console Aharon in his terrible grief over losing his two sons, his prodigies, the top Kohanim after Aharon, by saying, "Bekrovai Akadesh." And Rashi expounds on the verse. Moshe told Aharon that God told me that people who are close to me, meaning God, will sanctify the tabernacle. And I thought it would be you and me. But it turned out to be your sons, which attests to their greatness. But this begs the question, why must someone die in order to sanctify the Mishkan? Let's look more closely at the precise words God spoke to Moshe. The Hebrew word ekadesh, I will sanctify, comes from the same word as kaddish. When we recite kaddish for a loved one, we declare, Yitkadal v'yitkadash shmei rabah, God's great name should be exalted. Well, some people call it such. Kaddish is not actually a prayer for the dead. It's an expression of praise for God. Why does a mourner praise God? Because they're acknowledging that God's decision to take this person is not something we can understand, but we do know that it's the right thing, so we can accept it and move on with our lives. Which is really the purpose of mourning, to accept the judgment upon us, something we can do nothing about anyway, and move on and live our life. Not exactly the same as before, but moving on nonetheless. And that is the message which connects Parshat Parah to Shmini and to Pesach. As I said last week, the Mishkan represents Melacha and Shabbat because those are the powers that went into the 6 days of creation. So the Mishkan must reflect creation and the world and vice versa. There's a lot of death in life. And so there is also a lot of death associated with the Mishkan. But just like Aharon, we must find a way to move on. And that's what the red heifer represents. When you become impure, tameh, after contact with death, you die a little, so to speak. And the Tara purification with the ashes of the red heifer enables you to accept death and move on. That is why it is a prime example of a chok, a law we do not understand, because there are some things like death that are in God's realm and not ours. And that's what the holiday of Pesach is about. The blossoms of spring, the renewal of life after death of winter. And that's why Pesach must fall in the month of Aviv in springtime. We're moving on from the death of winter. One of the topics I discuss in my new book, Bringing Order to the Seder, is why there's basically no mention of the world to come in the entire Torah. The Abarbanel in Parshat Bechukotai explains that our focus while we're in this world should be on the life we have now, not on what happens after our death. So at this time of year, as we approach Pesach and begin the cleaning process, which remember, does not require pain, we can reflect on the gift of life and hopefully come to realize that at the end of the day, as complicated as life is, it is good to be alive. Shabbat Shalom.